Good singing. You may be seated this evening.
I know the weight of all the world is on your shoulders. You're standing strong, others choose to walk away.
I know you're weary from the battle that surrounds you. As the darkness tries its best to shake her face. Jesus knows the struggle you are facing, and above your tortured thoughts, just hear him say, press on, weary soldier of the cross, it's worth it all, it's worth the cost, and heaven's now in view. Press on, the fight will soon done. The victory's already won, and you will make it through. Press on, press on.
Consider him and how he bore the weight of Calvary.
Calvary.
Revival a little over a week ago now. Thank you, young people, for that. If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of John. Turn the Gospel of John in your Bibles, please, tonight. I'll find my place as you find your place there as well. John chapter number 11, as you find that, would you stand to your feet as you're able as we read from the Word of God. John chapter number 11, and we'll read the first five verses tonight. John chapter number 11, and we'll read the first five verses. Keep the your Bibles open as we get into the message tonight, as we'll look at a number of verses through this chapter tonight. John chapter 11, verse number 1, it says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, that sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this scripture tonight, Lord, that you've spoken to my heart about it already, and I pray that you would speak to the hearts of your people tonight, Lord. The need, I believe, is real, and I believe that the truths from the Word of God are eternal, that always help and affect and change our lives if we allow you to speak to our hearts. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Last week, I preached a message about David encouraging himself in the Lord. I didn't title that. If you'd like to go back and listen to that, you may. It's on our website, I believe. It is, right? I got the nod from the guys upstairs. But if you'd like to listen to that, you can. Kind of a part two, in a way, of this message that the Lord just directed my heart. I didn't plan on it, but if you've ever preached or taught from the Word of God, sometimes the Lord has you preach something. You say, God, I don't want to teach that. Or other times you go, Lord, I didn't realize where you were going with that, but I believe this will be a help to you tonight. And I want to preach you a message tonight about how to be an encourager. How to be an encourager. If you know this passage here, we see that Lazarus is sick, and as you see through the chapter, that he was about to die. The Bible does not say exactly what the sickness was, but those around him knew that they needed to get to Jesus fast. And don't you know that when you have a need, it is always the best to get to Jesus? Amen? I'll try that again. You know that if you have a need, the best place to get is to Jesus. Right? The best place to be is to get in your Bible, to get on your knees in prayer, to get in church, and just get close to God. And as Jesus was there, Mary and Martha, his sisters, and those around him said that he whom thou lovest is sick, and he said, this sickness is not nigh unto death. Now, Lazarus would die. He would be in the grave for 4 days. If you don't know the passage, it's a bit of a spoiler alert from the rest of the story. But he would die from this sickness, and he would be in the grave for 4 days before Jesus would get there. When they got to him, Lazarus was still alive, and they really believed in their heart that Jesus could heal and help and do anything and take this sickness away from him. And we serve that same God that has the same power today that he did back then. And so as we see this passage here, I want to go through some thoughts tonight about how to be an encourager and kind of getting some lessons here from the passage of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. But I want to help you about being an encourager. If you didn't notice, there's so many people around us that need encouragement. You realize that? You don't have to look far to realize there's someone around you that's going through something. Many times we think, I'm the only one going through something. Or I'm going through something bigger than anyone else is, and we kind of get in our own bubble, right? And we kind of think it's just me, it's no one else. But you look around, and people need encouragement. Maybe it's a spouse tonight that needs an encourager. Last week we talked about how David encouraged himself in the Lord, and I believe that you need to encourage yourself in the Lord before you can encourage someone else, that you get close to God, you pray, build your faith before you can kind of help someone else. But maybe it's a spouse tonight that needs some encouragement. It's a husband or wife. It's a mother or father that needs to be encouraged tonight that's just struggling. Maybe it's a child tonight that's struggling tonight that needs some encouragement. Maybe it's a friend tonight that you need to be an encourager to. Maybe it's a church member tonight that you need to be an encourager that. Maybe it's someone that God puts on your heart. You ever notice that God puts someone on your heart for a reason? And you realize that God's timing is always best. You ever, like, God put something in your heart and you thought, man, I knew I should have called them. I knew I should have texted them. And God was directing your heart that way, that you don't know the reasoning or the background story. You don't have to know all the details to encourage someone. Maybe it's a fellow employee, and the list could go on, but someone around you that God has put you in their path or them in your path. And sometimes you think, well, don't bother me. I don't want your stuff weighing me down as I go along my merry way up the yellow brick road. And but God put them there in your path for a reason, for you to encourage them, to point them to the Lord. There are so many times in Scripture that God encourages us. You ever gone through and done word studies or verse studies or on topics about different things in the Bible? If you haven't, you need to do it. Look up every verse on a subject or every verse on a certain word and do a study in those areas. But as you look in the Bible about encouragement, How many times does God encourage us in Scripture? Where he'd say, it is I, be not afraid. Different passages, be strong and of good courage, where God is encouraging us to keep going on, even when we fail, right? Even when we struggle, even when we've sinned. Sometimes we can be the one, well, I've encouraged them before and they didn't take it, so forget them. Well, I'm thankful the Lord didn't leave us behind the first time that we needed help from him, amen? And we need to be encouragers to people around us to be a strength and a help to them. Jesus' earthly ministry, he came to bring light and hope to this dark world, didn't he? Amen? He came to bring light and hope to a dark world that was wandering aimlessly, had no hope, didn't know what to do, where to go, in false religion and on their way to hell. And Jesus came to help and lift up the fallen, to pick us up out of the miry clay, to set our feet on a rock. And he came to help us, didn't he? Amen? And so we can be an encourager and a help to someone else. You look at Jesus' earthly ministry, and those that were never able to see, he'd give sight to them. Those that had never walked, he'd give them strength to walk again. A few occasions, those had even been in the grave, and he brought their loved ones back to life. Those that were lost, he gave salvation. Jesus came to lift up people around him, to give strength and encouragement to others that God had put, God the Father had put in his path, and that he had passed by their path. In this passage, Jesus told that Lazarus is sick. And they told him, and they said, Lazarus is sick, he's about to die. You need to go and see Lazarus. And you would imagine that's an urgent request. Now today, it'd be a phone call and a text. You ever pull out your phone and you think, why do I have 17 missed calls and texts from this person? And you pull out and you go, uh-oh, like the one time you have it on silent or you set it aside and uh-oh, what did I miss? And obviously they didn't have cell phones at that time. It was maybe a better day and time, right? Amen. It's the blessing and curse of our society, I believe. I love telling teenagers this. When I was youth pastor, I didn't grow up with a cell phone, right? I had the joy of having a beeper given to me by my parents so they could get a hold of us because there was no cell phones. All right, I'm dating myself for the younger ones, but trying to remind them, it's not always been this way. But he came to lift up those, and they came urgently to Jesus and said, Lazarus is sick and he's about to die. And Jesus said, he's not about to die, but this is to bring glory to the Father. We'll look at some more truths with that in a little bit. But I want to look, first of all, about the situation they were facing. And it was a very difficult situation, that there was one about to die. And this is one that Jesus loved very much. And it was a very serious condition. It weighed heavy on their hearts. They knew that it was an urgent request that they brought to Jesus. Numerous people came to Jesus and pleaded with Jesus multiple times through this passage and said, Jesus, you need to get to Lazarus. Jesus, you need to get to Lazarus. Now, Jesus has something that we don't know. He's all-knowing, all-powerful. He knew it was going to happen. He had a purpose and a plan. But there was an urgency to the need for Lazarus. If you look around you, you realize that there's some urgent situations around you that maybe you can be a help to them, that you can be a blessing to them, that you can help someone in their time of need. How many times did someone bring someone to Jesus to get help, to get healing, salvation? And the disciples said, don't bother him. He's too busy. Go away. Tell him to be quiet. Shouldn't we be doing the opposite of that, church? How many times do we think, oh, don't bother me. I'm too busy. I've got stuff going on. But there's people around that have needs. And Jesus, in his earthly ministry, he was always thronged with people and had places to go and things to do. But he'd stop to care about one person, one child, one beggar, one person that was lame from their feet, and there were some situations around him that he faced. You know, first of all, you need to look around. You know, Jesus, he told the disciples to lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Did they need to be told that? Yes, they did. Why? Because so many times we get our blinders on and we're hurrying through life, but look around and see there's people in need around you. People that you can point to Jesus, not just for healing, although I pray for healing for those that are sick, but may for salvation. Amen? For God to do work in their heart and their life, look around and see that there's needy people all around you that need Jesus. They need an encourager. They need someone to help them. Many times we don't fully understand or know, even for those that are sitting right around us, the needs that they have in their life. And sometimes you have to draw those situations out, right? Sometimes as men, and I'll raise my hand for this, that we can be sometimes a little shallow with our conversations, right? What'd you have for lunch today? How was the game last night? And, I've been guilty of that, and I'll talk to one of my family members, and my wife will go, how's their children doing? Are they sick? And I said, we didn't talk about it, you know? Right? And sometimes we can get so focused on the things of life that we don't care about the needs that people have, the more important situations that people are facing. You got to stop and pause what you're doing and say, how are you doing? Are things okay? How's your family? And I'm thankful for people in my life that would stop and not just, how you doing? How you doing? We're good at that, aren't we? How you doing? Have a good day. See you later. But to stop and pick up the phone, hey, God put you on my heart. Is there anything I can pray with you about? And to stop and pause and realize that there's situations and needs that people have all around you. Number two, the situation, it was a situation, but it was much sadness. And the sadness that they have and that they brought to Jesus, there was much weeping and sadness in this story, but the situation, it led to death. Someone that they loved had passed away, and it was a very real situation to them, and really life or death. Sometimes, again, we can be somewhat bothered by people's needs. Now, you also have very needy people that are always having needs and reaching out and having needs upon needs as well. Be careful and wise with that. But also, there's people around you that have needs to care about. Sometimes we can be calloused and say, get over it. You'll be fine. My difficulty is bigger than your difficulty. If you knew what I was going through, you wouldn't bother about yours. Well, that's big in their life. Sometimes we're guilty of doing that with our children. Well, if you knew what I went through today, well, what they went through is in relation to their day and their stage of life is big to them. And you need to care about the things that they care about and help them with that. Just get over it, you'll be fine, doesn't help people really. Have you noticed that? I know as a dad, you know, rub dirt on it, you're not bleeding, your arm's not falling off. Yes, we've been guilty of all of those, all right? But to care about people. Sometimes, you know, we have the my situation is worse, but to realize this is a serious need for someone that God has put around you. I'd like to look at some of the situations, how Jesus Christ addressed the needs that people had in their life around him, specifically with Lazarus and Mary and Martha and those there as well. Number one, how do you be an encourager to others? Number one, and I will get some lessons from Jesus, and you can title it or write the notes however you want if you'd like to. But number one is this, Jesus loved them. How do you be an encourager? Jesus loved them. It was evident. Everyone knew Jesus loved Lazarus. He loved him. Three different times in the passage, verse number three, it says this, and therefore his sisters went unto him saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. They didn't say, do you? They said, we know that you love him and he's sick. Verse number five, it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. In verse number 36, after the famous John 11:35, where Jesus wept, when he saw their sadness, came to the place of mourning and death in the tomb. And in verse 36, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. You know, you can't fake loving someone, right? You can't fake caring about someone. And Jesus truly loved Lazarus, and it showed. And it showed, and I believe it helped him to touch the situation. Now, we know this, that God loves everyone. He is a perfect love. He's an example that we need to follow in our lives. But if you're going to be an encourager, you need to love people. You need to care about people. You need to get out of your bubble. We live in such a self-centered society that only cares about me and my selfies and my look and all the stuff that I have going on. Get out of your bubble and love and care about people as God does. Love people. You know what? I'm thankful that Jesus loves the unlovely. He cares about those that there's nothing in return that you can get from the relationship, if you will. What can you do for me? But just what can I do and help you and show you a Christ-like love to love them? He showed his love for Lazarus. You know what, church? I want to just challenge you this. You know, in our church, we have our core crowd many times on a Sunday night. But do your bus kids know that you love them? I hope it's more than just a number on a bus route. I hope Sunday school teacher, it's more than just having a bigger attendance and trying to beat another class. And I don't believe that's the case at all. But if we're not careful, we can just look and count heads and usher people in and out and not truly care to love them, to know their name, to know the needs that they have, to pray about what they have going on in their life, to truly love them. It was very clear that Jesus loved Lazarus, and he was going to go to be with him. And again, he was challenging their faith. We'll look at that here in just a little bit. You've heard it said before, maybe, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You know, we can have the know-it-all and I've arrived kind of Christianity. How does that help people until sometimes you get down into the dirty place in life to just to help people? The callous way of thinking is this: if you care too much about people, they're going to hurt you. And the answer is yes. Right? The people that Jesus cares about crucified him. And on that cross, he turned around and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And even those that you love, that may turn out to hurt you in return, but that's a vulnerability of love that you say, "I'm going to give, expecting nothing in return." And I want to challenge you, church, tonight. Does your family know that you love them? And more than just by saying something, more than just by doing something, it's clearly shown and seen. It's not just words, and it's not just actions. I believe it should be both. Love is an action. It's a choice. And it's not just what I get out of it or a phase of life, but does your family truly know that you love them? You know, your spouse, your children need to hear that on a daily basis. Every single day, I love you. I'm being honest, church. They need to hear that from you, dad, mother. You say, "Well, I wasn't raised that way." Well, knock it off and start raising your children that way. I know there was a generation, you know, the World War II generation and the Great Depression generations where you didn't say that. You just kind of sucked it up and got on with life. But we need to let people know around us that we love them, because there could be a time where you don't get to say that or show that anymore. To care about people, to be an encourager. You know, to be an encourager, one of the best ways that you can do that is just to call or text or go see someone and say, "Hey, I just want to let you know that I love you, that I care about you, I'm praying for you." Number two, Jesus not only loved them, but Jesus came to them. Now, there's a few things that happen in the middle of the passage, and we're not going to have time to read through all of it, but in verse number 17, Jesus had waited some time. He wanted to challenge their faith. He wanted to raise Lazarus from the dead. But in verse number 17, it says, "And when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now, Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, and Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Jesus not only loved them by his actions, by his words, but also by his presence. You know, when there's someone that's going through a difficult time, one of the best things that you can do to be an encourager is just to go be with them. Just to make the drive, to take the flight, to take some time to just to go and sit with them. I think of Job's friends. They were great encouragers until they were terrible encouragers, right? And they sat with him in the ashes and the boils and the sorrow, and they did a good job until they started talking, right? If you don't know the right words to say when someone's going through a difficult time, don't say it at all. The wrong thing is worse than trying to say something, and you're going to get yourself into trouble with that. But he just came to be with them. He went to their house. He went to the gravesite. He went to go be with them, and in a little bit we'll see he went to weep with them as well. He went to go and encourage some people that he cared about. Jesus did want to build their faith, but he came to where they are. He came to their house. When someone is going through a trial, go be with them. Encourage them. Say, "Oh, suck it up. I'm sure they'll get over it." Go and be a friend. Go and be a friend. Be the spouse that your spouse needs, the husband or the father or the wife or the mother that you need, just to go and to be with them. And it doesn't always have to be a lot of talking. It just be sitting in silence saying, "I'm just here with you to encourage you." Jesus loved them, but also Jesus came to be with them. Number three, Jesus encouraged them to have faith. he encouraged them to have faith. In verse 23, Jesus saith unto her, look at it please, thy brother shall rise again. Now Jesus knew what he was about to do. Again, he has the capability of rising from the grave, which we don't have, all right? We're not Bethel, we're not having a healing service and trying to get someone to rise again from the grave. That's creepy stuff, by the way. Creepy stuff, by the way. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He came to encourage their faith. You know what? When you go to sit with someone to encourage them, don't discourage them. Oh, you want to hear all my sad, terrible stories about, you know, when I lost a loved one and when I had surgery and when, you know, all the bad stuff I'm going through. And when you leave, they think, man, I was better off before they came. I was encouraged before they gave me all their sad stories. Don't give them all the horror stories and the sad stories and they don't need that at the time. Just encourage them. So many times I'm making a hospital visit or having a meeting and I think, don't give the story. Just encourage them with where they are moving forward. Sometimes you can help to relate to someone in that, but be careful with that. But he encouraged them to have faith. Again, you want to leave someone encouraged, not discouraged. I want to encourage them with, God is still great. Amen? God's still on the throne. God still answers prayers. The Bible's still true. Heaven is still real. God can do this. Leave someone encouraged in their faith. Not discouraged. Well, I don't know. It's not looking too good. I mean, if I were the doctor, you're not the doctor. Unless if you are the doctor. You can say that. But don't give them your 2 cents if you don't know any better. Encourage them and have faith. We're just going to trust God. Amen? We're just going to pray. Can we pray together? And have faith, number one, in God's Word. When you're coming to someone, and I pray and say, God, would you help me and give me a scripture verse to help someone in need? Maybe God gives you a verse before you get to go talk to someone. Maybe it's a conversation you didn't know you were going to have. And you say, God, would you give me a scripture verse to help and encourage them? Not to preach at them, but to encourage them. And you know what? There's strength and encouragement in the Word of God. Amen? And you get in the Word of God and it encourages and strengthens. Get in the Word of God. Say, could I read a scripture with you? Could I share with you a verse that helped me when I was going through some struggles? Have faith in God's Word. Number two, have faith in God's plan. Have faith in God's plan. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know if God's going to turn the situation around, if God's going to take a loved one home or the situation's not going to change. But have faith that God is in control. Amen? God is in control. And maybe someone that maybe got wayward say, you need to get some things right. You need to get right with the Lord in a lovingly caring way, but God's trying to get your attention to follow His Word, but help them to realize this, God has a plan for your life. Say, I don't know it. You maybe don't know it. You don't see it, but God has a plan and God's doing a work. But number three is this, and I believe this is one of the greatest encouragements of faith in God's Word and prayer and God's plan, but also this, faith in eternal life. I don't believe there's a greater encouragement to someone else than to either, if they're not saved, the situation is pointing them to salvation, right? If someone's not saved, oh, I don't want to talk to them about it now, they're going through a difficult time. God is using the difficult time to point them to salvation, amen? Use that to point them to the gospel. But also for a fellow Christian, what a greater encouragement than heaven. Amen? To think no matter what happens in this life, that heaven's on the other side, all the tears wiped away, streets of gold, gates of pearl, no more sickness, sorrow, or death, or taxes, no more government shutdowns, and no more IRS audits and whatever stuff bills do. In heaven, there's none of that, and God will make all things right in heaven. You think, well, but I didn't want it to turn out this way, but in heaven, all things are going to be right. There's no greater encouragement for a Christian than say, as bad as it is here, it's going to be perfect in heaven someday. Pointing someone to heaven is a great encouragement. In the last 2 months, we've had 4 of our church members go to heaven. It makes heaven a little bit sweeter, doesn't it? There's empty spots around the auditorium now with those that have gone to heaven, some that have moved away due to those situations. And I think of eternal life, and what an encouragement that is. And they were worried about Lazarus being dead. Well, he put his faith in Jesus Christ, and if so, then he'd be in heaven if he passed away. The worst things in this life will turn out to be in heaven someday as a Christian, either way. What an encouragement that can be to someone to think about heaven. And then number four, being an encourager, is this. Jesus prayed to his Father. We're going to skip down a number of verses here to John chapter 11. And Mary and Martha had come to Jesus, and we're going to need to back up a couple verses here. And in verse number 33, when Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have ye laid him?" And they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." And he wanted to go be with him, and he wanted to see it. And in verse number 35, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold, how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus said, saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" And it says, and they take away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. And because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." Jesus prayed to the Father. One of the greatest ways to encourage someone is to pray with someone. And as Jesus Christ went to the tomb and said, "Roll back the stone," and he prayed to the Father, and he prayed for their faith and prayed for comfort, and he would then raise Lazarus from the dead. But he prayed to them. If you're going to help and encourage someone, pray with them. We have a negative thought going through society of saying, well, why don't you do something more than praying? You know, kind of like it's a, why are you wasting my time? Or, you know, kind of like you're throwing your 2 cents in as a Christian that you'd pray for someone. You know, I think saying that I'm praying for you is better than I'm thinking of you. I'm thankful for someone that may think about me, but to say I'm praying for you, they're going to the Father. They're going to the throne of heaven on my behalf. Man, thank the Lord for those that have prayed with and through things and with me in times in my life. Pray for the brokenhearted, but pray with the brokenhearted. So, hey, could we stop and pray right now? Hey, this is a need and this is a difficult time. Could I get on the phone and pray with you? Could we get on our knees and pray about the situation before God? When you pray with someone, pray for comfort, pray for strength for those going through the trial. But also, you can pray for healing and help, that God would turn that situation around. And pray that God can do anything. Amen? God can do anything. But when you pray, be careful and pray for God's will to be done. You know, "God, we know you're going to do this." I don't know what God's going to do. Don't make promises for God that I don't know what God is going to do with that. You know, "God, we know you're going to raise this person up." I don't know that. God knows that. Pray for God's will to be done, that we submit to the will of the Father through the situation, for God's will to be done. And lastly tonight, Jesus performed the will of the Father. In verse number 43, it says, And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him, and let him go." Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen these things which Jesus did believed on him. And I'm thankful in the end when you go to encourage someone, pray with someone, you see that God can perform a miracle, that God can totally change a situation and lift up and help a broken home or help someone that's near to death or a financial situation, that God can do anything. You believe that, Christian, that God can do anything? And when you go encourage someone, have faith, encourage them, point them to God, point them to the Scriptures, point them to have faith. But knowing this, that we're praying for God's will to be done. Too many times we get discouraged because God doesn't do what I want it done. Right? Like God has to, you know, fulfill 1, 2, and 3. God, I told you, so you have to do it. God doesn't have to do what I told him. Pray for God's will to be done. And I pray that God would be glorified, whatever the situation may be, however it turns out. May we, when we go to encourage someone, help them to keep their faith and to point them to the Lord. I believe this, that every trial, every correction, every struggle that we face in life is to draw us closer to God. Do you believe that, Christian? Every trial, every correction, every difficulty is to point us to God for salvation first of all. First of all, if someone's not saved, we're encourage and help and point them to the Scriptures, point them to salvation. But then number two, if someone is saved, they would encourage them to draw closer to God. You know this, that through a trial, someone's either going to draw closer to God and build their relationship with the Lord, draw a greater strength and a greater trust in God, or they're going to take that the opposite direction and say, well, you know, I believe God and look what happened. He let my brother die. Look, he's been in the grave for 4 days and say, I'm turning away from you, God. And people are going to turn one way or the other. Help to be the encourager to point someone back to the Lord. I don't know who it is around you that needs an encourager. Not like someday, but today. And when God puts someone on your heart or God puts someone in your life, stop for a minute and say, how are you doing? Stop. And not rush through it. How are you doing? And not to interrogate and not to gossip, not to share all the details with everyone. Say, how are you doing? Can I pray with you about anything? Someone that has a prayer need, you check up on them. You ever appreciate when someone does that? You've asked someone to pray and they check on you. How is that situation going? I've been praying for you, praying with you about that. And think, man, I'm thankful that someone's encouraging. Someone else is praying. Someone else is on my side helping me to bring this need before the Lord. Stop and ask someone. When God's put someone on your heart, pray for them. Check on them. And be an encourager, someone that God puts in your heart and in your life. We'll close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the night. And pray, thank you for the message, Lord, and for the truth from the Word of God. And I'm thankful, Lord, how you took a situation in with Lazarus, and you pointed that to the Father. You helped to build their faith. You helped people to see a miracle. I pray, Lord, in our lives that we'd help to point someone closer to you. Again, I don't know who it may be, but maybe there's a brother, maybe a sister, maybe a father, maybe a mother. Maybe it's a husband or a wife that needs some encouragement. Maybe we've checked in before and it's been a bit. Maybe we used to pray for them and we've stopped praying. Maybe we've checked up on them before, but there needs to be a check-in again. Maybe there needs to be some praying and some encouragement needed. Maybe there's someone tonight that maybe we go to someone and say, I could use some help and I could use an encourager, and to find someone to help them in a time of need to point them to the Lord. I don't know what the need is for you tonight. But first of all, I'd like to ask you this question, church. Is there anyone in the auditorium here tonight, maybe watching online, that would say, I don't know the Lord is my Savior. I don't know that if I died tonight that I'd be in heaven. I've never put my faith in Jesus Christ alone. It's not about church membership. It's not about good works. It's not about any kind of title. Do you know for sure that you put your faith in Jesus Christ alone, that He died on the cross to pay for your sins, and by faith in Jesus alone you asked Him to save you? If you've never made that decision in your life, would you raise your hand? Say, I don't know that I'm saved. I can't say 100% sure I'm on my way to heaven based on the Word of God, but I'd like to know that. Would you just slip your hand up real quick so I could pray for you? Won't call you out, won't embarrass you, but I'd love to pray for you tonight. Amen. I see that hand. Is there another tonight? I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know I'm going to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Maybe there's someone in the room tonight that you'd say, the Lord put someone on my heart that I need to be an encourager to. Maybe someone I've checked on before. Maybe I haven't seen them in church in a while. Maybe someone I know that's struggling, but I need to be an encourager to them. Would you raise your hand as a testimony? God put someone on my heart to be an encourager.